The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Greetings, everyone. There is a big question that has gone unanswered by the experts for thousands of years. Philosophers have pondered it and mused about it to no avail. Scholars have researched this question for centuries, but always fall short of the real answer. Their assertions and theories simply do not stand up under careful examination and scrutiny. Religious leaders and famous theologians try in vain to address this question of all questions, but they never reach the true explanation, the right and correct answer that settles the matter once and for all. And yet, the simple and clear answer has been there in God's Word all along, right from the beginning. This big question has to do with the purpose of life. Why were you born? Why was anyone born, for that matter? Why are we here? Where are we going? How are we going to get there? What is the real reason for human existence? Let's begin at the beginning. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Go get your Bible, and if you haven't already, open it up and let's just see what God's Word has to say about the answer to this big question that has stumped and puzzled and baffled people for so many years. Let's turn together to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and begin reading and finding the answer to this question from God's Word. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Verse 27, Genesis 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Did you notice it says, "Let us make man in our image"? It doesn't say, "I will make man in my image." It's a plural word. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. You know, God is a family made up of the Father and the Son. And it says here that they created man in their image and after their likeness. Now that ought to give us a clue to what's going on regarding God's plan for mankind. Let's turn now over to the book of John and see further what he has in mind for humanity. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Have you ever noticed this in the Bible? Have you ever taken time to read it and study it? It opens up a lot of understanding regarding God's plan for all of mankind. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So we read about the God family here, made up of the Father and the Son, and the Father created all things through the Son. The Logos, the spokesman, the one who later became the Son of God, was actually the creator of all things under supervision of the Father. And notice there were two great beings mentioned here, the Word and God. Not three. It doesn't say anything about a Trinity here. It doesn't say anything about the Holy Spirit here. It talks about the Word and God. There are two in the family now. They want to expand the family. They created mankind to expand that family. They are reproducing themselves. They want to share everything with their family. After all, they're all about giving. They're all about love. That's why you were born, to be a part of that family. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 and see what it says here about family, God's family. Ephesians 3 and verse 14. Paul wrote this, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." The whole family, the God family. It talks about the family. Does it mean what it says? Does it say what it means? It means family. The whole family in heaven and earth is named after God the Father. It's the God family. And that means he's going to expand that family to include mankind created in his image and after his likeness. You know, when a man and woman get married and they have a child, it's in their image. It's after their likeness. They're expanding their family. There's the perfect analogy of what God is doing in his family, except his family is made up of spirit beings and the human family is made up of physical beings, headed toward becoming spirit beings in his family if they change and grow and overcome and endure to the end in serving him. This question of all questions, why were you born? It was asked by several people in the Bible. Let's just notice that David had this question. King David, a man after God's own heart. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 8 and verse 3. David was a thinker. He was out tending the sheep. He had a lot of time to think. He had a lot of time to consider God's creation. He would be out there at night and be able to look up and see the stars and the universe and think about what it all meant. Notice what he says here upon thinking about all of this greatness that was created by the great God. Look what he said here in Psalms 8 and verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, here's the question I have, David said in verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him, or that you pay attention to or care for him? Who are we? Why are we here? What's going on? Where are we going? What is this all about? David was asking here. Verse 5, Psalms 8. For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. Verse 6, you made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Now, you're going to notice as we go through this subject that we keep finding the word all mentioned here. You have put all things under his feet. It doesn't say you've put some things under his feet. You've put most things under his feet or under his authority. It says here, you have put all things under his feet. Now, that hasn't happened yet. It has happened in the creation of the world in that we have dominance over it, even though we abuse it and befoul it and besmirch it now. But the time is coming when we're going to have all things under our authority, because we're going to be in the family of God. So David had this question, what is the purpose in life? And then he answered it right there in that same passage. Paul also raised this question, and he answered it as well. Let's turn over here to Hebrews chapter 2 and see what Paul had to say about this. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5. For unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. No, the angels are very powerful spirit beings, and they certainly have a lot of responsibility, and they carry out that responsibility under the direction of Jesus Christ and God the Father. But they are not born of God the Father and Jesus Christ. And human beings will be born again and be like God the Father and Jesus Christ and actual members of the family of God. But what's the subject here? Verse 5 of Hebrews 2 tells us, for unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Verse 6, so that's what we're speaking about here. That's what we're reading about here. That's the subject matter of the passage that we're about to go through. Hebrews 2 and verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him, or that you take care of him? Who are we? What are we? Why were we born? What is life all about? What's the purpose being worked out here below? Where are we headed? What is the plan for humanity? David had these questions, and Paul had these questions, and I've had those questions, and perhaps you have. But nobody can answer those questions unless you go to the Bible and believe what it says, and then you can have the answer very clearly and very, very carefully laid right out before your very eyes. All you have to do is just read the Bible and believe what it says, and it certainly makes it clear what the purpose of life is all about. Let's continue. Verse 7 of Hebrews 2. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You did set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. That's going to happen in the future. It hasn't happened yet, but it's coming. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He was made a little lower than the angels in the sense that he became a human being. And for a little while, he was a little lower than the angels in terms of being a human being instead of being a spirit being. but he was God in the flesh, and the angels were subject to his authority. Verse 10, "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Now notice it says, in bringing many sons unto glory. Doesn't that sound like family to you? Isn't that talking about expanding the family of God? And it says they'll be brought into glory. Children, be brought into glory. Verse 11, Hebrews 2. "For both he that sanctifies or sets apart and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." You know, when you have siblings, brothers, sisters, you call them brothers and sisters, and you're subject to your father and mother. All of you make up the family, the human family, that carries the name of the family. Well, the time is coming when there'll be sons and daughters born into the family of God, and they'll be like the father and like their elder brother. They'll be spirit beings, but they'll be subject to the father and subject to the elder brother, and they'll make up the family of God. That's what it's saying here. He's not ashamed to call them brethren, because they are his brothers like him, and in the same family he is in. Verse 12, Hebrews 2, "Saying, I will declare your name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto you. And again I will put my trust in him, and again behold, I and the children which God has given me," the children, the sons and the daughters, the family, "we will be full members of the God family." That's what the Bible says, if we just have ears to hear and eyes to see. And if we're able to cut through the error and the wrong teachings that have been promulgated for so many years about the ultimate destiny and potential of mankind. It's much more than just flitting off to heaven and flying around on a cloud plucking on a harp or sitting cross-legged staring at a beatific vision. You don't find any of that in the Bible. Not one single place do you find any of that in the Bible. But what you do find in the Bible is that our ultimate potential is to one day be born into the family of God as full members of the God family and to inherit the whole universe, and we will be on this earth. It says it, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," and then we will carry out his plan throughout the universe forever. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. It's just throughout the Bible. It verifies the answers to these questions over and over again. And these are the true answers. These are not hypotheses, theories, speculation, pontifications filled with error and indoctrination and wrong teaching. No, this is the pure, simple, plain, unvarnished, unadulterated truth. It's from God's Word. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Notice what John writes here under inspiration of God. Verse 1, 1 John 3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." We're not born children yet. We are begotten children. We are unborn children, about to be born at the resurrection. But we're still children of God, "that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not." We're not like the world, any more than he was like the world. Verse 2, 1 John 3, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, children of God, unborn, but still children of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be." That birth has not happened yet into the family of God, but it will happen at the second coming of Jesus Christ. But continue now in verse 2 and look what it says. "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now, does that mean what it says? It says here, "We shall be called the sons of God." And then it goes on to say in verse 2, "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." How plain, how clear, how can that be misunderstood? Isn't that what it means? It means exactly what it says. "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." Why? Because we are born again into the family that he has been born into. We are his brethren. He is our elder brother. We are all members of the same family. We're going to be like him. We're going to be glorified the way he's glorified, and subject to him and to the Father. That's what he says. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. That's right. When we understand the potential that is out there for every human being that overcomes and grows and submits and surrenders to Almighty God, we want to try harder and harder and harder to be more like him and less like the world, to obey him instead of going our own way. We want to be overcomers. The glory and spiritual composition that he has is what we're going to have. But we'll always be subject to him and the Father. Now, does the Bible say that? Yes, it says it. It says it very, very clearly. Turn with me over to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. Shall we just close the Bible and lay it aside and stop our ears and not go any further? Are we afraid to really look into what the Bible actually says about the plan of God for all humanity? Have we read anything about after death, we just simply float around heaven and do nothing forever and ever and ever? No, you don't see that in the Bible. Rather, you see a plan that involves family, and it's the family of God, and it has to do with a family that is busy, challenged, vigorous, productive, and carrying out the direction and leadership of the Father and the Son forever and ever. Exciting, fulfilling, thrilling, eternal life, fully involved in building and achieving forever and ever. That's something to seek, so that we may be given that in the future. That gives us a tremendous purpose for living and a tremendous goal to do anything and put any amount of work into achieving. That makes life so worthwhile when we understand the actual purpose for life in the first place. But what about being like him? What about being made of what he's made of? What about having the glory right along with him that he has? Well, let's read it right here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. Speaking of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Did you see that? Fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's what it says. I believe it. Do you believe it? I hope you do. Now, in order for that to happen, of course, we must repent. We have to change and obey God. We have to overcome so that he can build into us holy, righteous, godly character like he has. And the way we'll be able to do all that is by his strength and through the power of his Holy Spirit. We have our part to do, of course, that is coupled with having living faith in him. What about the glory part that Jesus Christ has that we're promised to have? Does the Bible actually say that? Turn to Romans chapter 8. Let's see what it says. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Do we believe what we read? Do we believe what we see? Do we believe what we hear when it's straight from the Bible? I hope so. Are we able to shake off wrong belief, wrong teaching, even though they might be something that we have held dear for years? If they're not true, why do we want to continue in them? Can we put all of that aside and can we start fresh and look into the Bible and see what it says, and believe what it absolutely nails down without a doubt? I hope so. Look what it says about the glory that will be given to those that are born into the family of God. I know this might sound strange, this might sound overwhelming, it might sound impossible, but that doesn't mean it isn't true. It just means that maybe you have not heard it before, or maybe you have not thought about it and looked into it enough. But if you will take time to clear your mind and really look into the Bible and see what it says and believe it, then you begin to see that this is actually the truth. This is real. This is going to happen. This is what God has in mind. This is what the whole purpose for life is all about. He has a plan to carry this out. And look what it's going to involve. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, unborn yet, but soon to be born into the family of God at the coming of Jesus Christ. Verse 17, Romans 8, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, see, we have our part to do, that we may be also glorified together, Paul said here in Romans. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Shall we just take a pair of scissors and clip that out of the Bible? Shall we take a red pen and just mark it out? Shall we pretend that that's not a part of Scripture? Or shall we look at it, study it, think about it, pray about it, discuss it, and come to the conclusion that God actually inspired these verses and that they are true and that they tell us what's ahead for the family of man when we become the family of God? Joint heirs with Jesus Christ, not yet inheritors. That comes when we're born again into the kingdom and into the family of God. Right now we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And what's that going to lead to? It says right here, verse 18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It talks about sons. That means family. It talks about glory and heirs. Not yet inheritors, but that's coming. Now, in order for all of this to happen, of course, we must be changed. Born again at the resurrection when our Savior and soon coming King comes again. And that's coming. And the Bible says so. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. You know, if we can just believe what the Bible says and begin to drink in of it, it starts to add up. You can prove it's true. It makes sense. It's logical. It's real. It's inspiring, encouraging, and thrilling. Life becomes exciting and fulfilling, because we're living it the way God wants us to, headed to the destiny that He has planned for us. Now we understand why we're here, where we're going, and how we're going to get there. It's all right here in the Bible. Notice here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50, Paul wrote this under inspiration of God. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or be dead, but we shall all be changed. Everybody will. But changed from what to what? It tells us right here. Verse 52 of 1 Corinthians 15. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We'll be changed from flesh to spirit, from corruptible to incorruptible, from physical life to eternal life, immortal life in the family of God. That's the change that's going to take place. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. No more death. No more physical life. Now only spirit life, which means eternal life, which means no more death. That's coming, and we can all be a part of it if we're willing to obey God and do what He says, starting now and in this life. As you can see, there is a theme of family running throughout the entire Bible. That theme is about the family of God. You see clearly that He's going to expand that family. He's full of love, concern, and care. He likes to give and serve and share everything He has, and He wants to do that with His family, just like any loving father and loving mother want to do with all of their children. Same thing, except on a grander scale, no doubt about that. For further understanding of that, let's go over here to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6. Now, have you noticed that we've ranged right through the Bible? We started in Genesis, and we went to several verses in several books through the Bible, and now we're over here in the book of Revelation, and here we are still talking about the family of God, the purpose in life, the plan that God has for all of mankind, and it has to do with family. It has to do with inheriting eternal life and inheriting the whole universe. It has to do with being in the family of God along with Jesus Christ and having the glory and the majesty and the might and the power that He has, but subject to Him and always subject to the Father. That's what you find throughout the Bible. That's what life is all about. That's why we're here. That's what we need to be doing every day of our life, learning to yield to God, walk with Him, serve Him, obey Him, become more and more like Jesus Christ, so that one day we will be in the family where He is, born into eternal life the way He has been born into eternal life from being our Savior on this earth as a human being. That's the plan. That's the purpose. That's the reason for human existence. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes and she that overcomes, anybody that overcomes, that means changing. That means laying aside our will and surrendering to God's will, turning from our wrong ways and going the right way and following Jesus Christ instead of following Satan the devil and his way of doing things and what this world has to offer. That means living the abundant life spiritually and then physically, not wallowing in the miserable life that this world has to offer. That's what overcoming is all about. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. There's that word all again. It means all. Shall inherit all things. It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to, for those who overcome and change and are resurrected into the family of God. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son, my daughter, my child. Isn't that family? That's exactly what family is, and that's what he's talking about here. I will be his God, he shall be my son, and he will inherit all things. Why? Because he's been an overcomer in this life. One other passage in the scripture that backs this up is found over in Romans 8. Let's turn there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Paul says this in God's word. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, there's no better position to be in than to have God for you. Imagine, when we live God's way and we serve him and we walk with him, we please him, and therefore then he's for us. You know who God is for? He's for those who are for him. So are we for him? If we are for him and his way, he's for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody and nothing can. Verse 32, Romans 8. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? There we are again. Freely give us all things. Like a loving father wants to give his children all things, our Father in heaven wants to give his family, born again human beings who now become spirit beings, children of him and his family, along with his son and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Like a loving father, he wants to give us all things. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's going to lead to being busy, productive, and fully engaged in eternal life, carrying out God's plan for the whole universe forever. That is why you were born. Please send for our free material on why were you born and also life's great purpose. There's no charge for any of our material. Also request our interesting and beautiful and relevant magazine, Straightforward. It is totally free as well, and we'll send it to you by return mail. All you need to do is call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.